السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, drew the attention of his companions towards expressing gratitude with great emphasis. In relation to this, Hazrat Pir Sirajul Haq Sahib Nomani relates that on one occasion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, said to him that what were you and Mira Bakhsh Sudai quarrelling about today? There was a mentally impaired individual whom Pir Sahib must have quarrelled with. He says that I got scared, wondering what the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would say, as he must have heard everything we said. And so, with some trepidation, I told him everything that had transpired. Upon this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that as Sudai is one who is mentally impaired and cannot be held accountable. In other words, it is an individual who lacks sound reasoning and whose deeds, according to the Sharia, or Islamic law, are not recorded as good or evil, and nor is such a person held accountable for his sins. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that people who are in such a state are not held accountable for what they say or for what they do. For after all, how can they be held accountable if they lack reason? Only one who possesses reason can be held accountable. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further said that the world refers to such individuals as majzoob, by someone drawn to God, a waliullah, a friend of God, or a qutb, a saint, and one who is commissioned to serve humanity. However, they are wrong in doing so, for in reality such people are not majzoob or waliullahs, rather they are deprived. That is, they are deprived of all the favours of God. They are deprived of reason, understanding, clothing, the pleasures of eating and drinking, and from the blessings and rewards associated with caring for the wife and children and raising them. Furthermore, they are deprived of the knowledge and recognition of Allah the Almighty, and the knowledge of the being of Allah the Almighty and His attributes, and recognizing the status of His prophets and messengers, and following their example. He further stated, they are deprived of reciting the Holy Quran and understanding its meanings, intricacies, insights and subtleties, and they are deprived of the Sharia and its observance. They are deprived of prayer, i.e. Salat, which is the spiritual apex of the believers, and of fasting, the special reward of which is Allah Himself, and the observance of Hajj and Zakat, as well as the rewards and spiritual ranks associated with these deeds. And so when you see such people, instead of arguing or quarrelling with them, you should thank God for having enabled you to benefit from all these blessings and favours, and not having deprived you of them. He has given you reason and understanding, and He has granted you the recitation of the Holy Quran and understanding of its knowledge, intricacies, insights and subtleties. And He has given you the ability to distinguish between what is lawful and unlawful, and He has enabled you to recognize the messengers, and He has granted you knowledge of His being and His attributes. Thus, where the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, instructed not to argue with such people, rather to treat them with kindness, He also taught to be grateful for the blessings bestowed by Allah the Almighty. That is, when we see such people, we should thank Allah the Almighty for having granted us all these blessings. Similarly, Hazrat Malik Muhammad Hassan Muhammad Sahib relates that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came for the Fajr prayer in the morning, and following the prayer he addressed those in attendance and said, "Where were the sarangis, i.e. bowed string instrument, and drums being played during the night? Instruments were being played and songs were being sung in the neighborhood." Upon this, someone said that Hazur Mirza Nizamuddin Sahib had invited a female dancer, for he used to engage in such tasks, and had promised her 20 rupees for the night. As such, the dancing in Mirza Nizamuddin's house continued throughout the night. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam took a deep sigh and said, "Allah, how remarkably devoted she is." He was referring to the dancer, and he said, "She is extremely devoted for having stayed up dancing and singing the entire night for just 20 rupees. On the other hand, we cannot stay up even 1 or 2 hours for the sake of our Creator and Master, who has given us countless blessings." The promised Messiah alayhi salam repeated these words 2 or 3 times. Even upon learning of the actions of such immoral women, his attention was drawn towards fulfilling the rights owed to Allah the Almighty. And with great pain, he expressed that such people were willing to sacrifice their sleep for a few rupees, and yet we do not even express gratitude for the countless blessings of Allah the Almighty. We do not give attention to voluntary prayers and our obligatory prayers, and are unable to remain awake. In fact, there are many who are negligent even regarding the obligatory prayers, and getting up for the Fajr prayer becomes difficult for them. Therefore, every Ahmadi should assess himself in this regard, and consider to what extent we are fulfilling our duty of gratitude to Allah the Almighty. Then Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib Sardawi describes the expression of gratitude of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam whilst eating as follows. He says it was the habit of the promised Messiah alayhi salam to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah whilst eating, and he would eat as though he was searching for something. In other words, even while eating, he would remember the blessings of Allah the Almighty with every morsel and express his gratitude. Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in relation to this, that we also observe the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was his practice that when he ate bread, i.e. roti, he would break off a small piece and put it into his mouth, and would continue chewing it thoroughly until his teeth had properly chewed it. It was not his habit to take large morsels, rather he would always take a small morsel, and while he continued chewing the first morsel for a long time, he would take another piece of bread and roll it between his fingers, all the while saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, that is, holy is Allah. And after some time, he would dip one of the pieces into the curry and put it into his mouth. Hazrat Sayyid Zainul Abideen Waliullah Shah Sahib relates that owing to my young age, and also because the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would accommodate my father, Hazrat Dr. Sayyid Abdul Sattar Shah Sahib, as a guest in his own house, we lived in the house as though we were members of the same family. And he says that we would freely come and go inside and outside the house, and would sleep in the home of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that I remember very well that whenever the plague appeared in the surrounding area or in the city, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would not only instruct that his own home be clean, but he would also make arrangements for the boarding house to be clean. He would similarly instruct all the members to make arrangements in their homes to use sulfur, fire, phenyl, and Google which is the resin of a tree and is used in its incense to kill bacteria and to eliminate germs, among other things. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, would say that making use of the available means is also a way of expressing gratitude for the blessings of Allah the Almighty. This too is a blessing of Allah the Almighty, and we should be grateful that He has created such things which serve as a remedy for these illnesses. And particularly during epidemics, when the environment becomes polluted and dirt accumulates or harmful substances spread, these means help to purify the environment. He would say that making use of these means is also a way of expressing gratitude for the blessings of Allah the Almighty, and is equivalent to obeying His command. And to abandon the available means is contrary to the divine law, i.e. Sharia. In other words, not making use of the available means is also contrary to the Sharia. The station of trust in Allah comes afterwards. That is, one should adopt the available means, but should not place one's reliance upon the means themselves. Rather, true spiritual insight lies in recognizing the hand of Allah the Almighty behind the means. Thus, one should realize that these things that I'm using have also been created by Allah the Almighty. May Allah create through them the means of benefit for us. And one should give thanks to Him. If a person thinks in this manner, then he will continue expressing gratitude to Allah the Almighty at all times. Hazrat Muhammad Ibrahim Sahib relates that once, when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was staying in Gurdaspur in 1904, in connection with the case of Karamdin, he says that this humble one also remained in Gurdaspur for a month in the company of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. One day, a friend from Multan brought some freshly ripened dates, and someone remarked that these dates were hot in nature. The person who had brought them said that eat as many of these dates as you like, but just eat a little onion afterwards, and you will not suffer any harm. This was also one of the remedies that elders in former times would suggest, that if you had eaten something considered hot in nature, then eat some onion afterwards and its effect would be neutralized. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah the Almighty had made excellent provision in that He had also created a corrective for everything. That is, He had provided something else to counteract its effects. He said that eat as many mangoes as you like. Diabetics are generally advised not to eat mangoes because they contain a great deal of sugar. But he said then eat a few jamuns afterwards. Jamun is also considered beneficial for those suffering from diabetes. And he said that you will not suffer any harm. As for bananas, they too have their advantages and disadvantages. And he said that eat as many as you like and then chew a few uncut grains of rice afterwards and everything will be digested. On this occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salam also delivered an address explaining the excellent physical and spiritual provisions that Allah the Almighty had made for human beings, provisions for which man can never fully express his gratitude. Then, whilst writing his book, Tazkiratul Shahadatain, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expressed his gratitude upon being cured of an illness. And he wrote that when I began writing this book, my intention was to complete this before I went to Gurdaspur on the 16th of October 1903, in connection with a case that had been filed against me by an opponent, and I desire to take it with me. But it so happened, however, that I was suddenly afflicted with severe kidney pain. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues that I thought that the work had been left unfinished, and that there were only a few days remaining, and if I continue to suffer from this kidney pain, which is a fatal illness, I would not be able to complete the book. He says that at that time, Allah the Almighty drew my attention towards prayer, and at night, when approximately 3 hours had passed after midnight, I said to the members of my household that I am now going to pray, and you say Ameen. In other words, he gathered all the members of the household together, and he says that in that painful condition, I prayed whilst keeping Sahibzada Maulvi Abdul Latif in mind, saying that, O Allah, I wish to write this book for this deceased one. And when I offered this prayer, I immediately became drowsy and received the following revelation. Salamun qawla min Rabbi Rahim, that is peace and security, a word from a merciful Lord. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that by him, in whose hand is my life, I swear that it was not yet 6 o'clock in the morning when I had become completely healthy. And he says that on that very day I wrote approximately half of the book. All praise belongs to Allah for this. Then one shining aspect of the life of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was that he possessed such a great appreciation for even the smallest kindnesses and such deep gratitude that he would express his thanks even for seemingly minor services and gestures. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib relays that during the week in which he was giving this account, the most extraordinary and interesting incident that took place and which greatly strengthened our faith was the arrival of a letter addressed to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The letter stated, with firm evidence and in detail, that in the Jalalabad area of Kabul, there was a platform associated with Yuz Asaf, a prophet, and that it was commonly known there that approximately 2,000 years ago, this prophet had come from Syria. It also stated that the Kabul government had granted some land in the name of this platform. There is no need to go into further detail here. Maulvi Sahib writes that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was extremely pleased by this letter, and he said that Allah is witness and all-knowing. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then said that if someone were to bring me millions of rupees, I would never be as happy as this letter has made me. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib further relates, the brothers, is this happiness over religious matter not a sign that it is from Allah? Who is there today who would experience such happiness at the prospect of the exaltation of the word of Allah? He says that I swear by Allah that when I saw and appreciated the happiness of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam at that time, I felt deeply ashamed within myself. For even though I was also happy and the friends were rejoicing that another avenue had opened for the defeat of falsehood, and that the complete picture of the journey of Jesus alayhi salam had now been discovered, there was simply no comparison with the happiness of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. When the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam wrote Barahin Ahmadiyya, he recorded in the book the names of those who had provided financial assistance for its publication. And whilst expressing his gratitude to them, he encouraged others to pray for them as well. And this list of those to be remembered in prayer included even those who had contributed 5 rupees, 2 rupees, and even 2 annas. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, writes, how can I express my gratitude to the Lord of the worlds, who first made it possible for my humble self to write this book by his help, grace, and divine support, and then brought it to the attention of Muslim leaders, elders, noblemen, and other brothers in faith, and invested them with the desire that it should be printed, published, and promoted. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further writes that I must express my gratitude to all those who helped me and whose generosity kept my religious objectives and efforts from going in vain. Indeed, I am so obliged to them for their help that I have no words with which to thank them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then further wrote that when I observe how so many of them have done their utmost to help this noble cause, and some of them have promised to make even more contributions, it further deepens my feelings of gratitude towards them. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then recorded the names of those who had provided assistance. And after writing the names, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, at the end of this statement, I have recorded the worthy names of all the generous and dedicated people who have helped this cause by purchasing copies of the book or contributing towards its publication. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then further wrote that I will continue to acknowledge such contributions until the whole book has been printed. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, wrote all their names and stated that so that as long as it continues to be a source of benefit for the world, that is, as long as people will benefit from this, these names will be written so that we may pray for them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also wrote that anyone who profits from it and spends a pleasant time reading it may pray for me and all who have helped me. That is, those who benefit from it, they should keep him and his helpers in their prayers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also authored a book entitled Minhaj ar-Rahman, in which he proved that the Arabic language is the mother of all languages. In this connection, whilst expressing his gratitude to those friends who had assisted him in locating various references, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated that here I cannot keep myself from expressing gratitude to my friends who have helped me in my task of proving the existence of relationships between languages. It gives me great pleasure to acknowledge that in order to prove the existence of relationships between languages, my sincere friends have exerted themselves with such zeal, which will surely be remembered in this world as long as this world remains inhabited. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then further wrote, these men of God bravely dedicated their important time to me, and by undertaking great toil and hard work day and night, they accomplished this momentous task. I believe that they will be tremendously rewarded by Allah the Almighty, because they partook in such a war in which very soon the trumpets of the victory of Islam will be sounded. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then further wrote, thus each and every one of them deserves to be decorated with a heavenly medal. I cannot describe how in every academic session, how they would venture hundreds of miles within their research in order to discover the common ties of words between languages, and how they would return with success and present the gift of a cognate word. And this process continued until the languages of the world were collected before us. I will never forget that in this momentous undertaking, my loyal friends provided such help that I do not have the words with which I can express its measure. And I pray that may God Almighty accept their efforts, and may He accept them for Himself, and may He always keep them distant and protected from an impure existence, and may He grant them His affinity and an eager longing for Him, and may He be with them. Ameen. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then recorded the names of those who had assisted him, among whom he mentioned Hazrat Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib first, followed by Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, along with many other companions. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that only God Almighty knows whose efforts in this task are greater, and He will not let the effort of any true devotee go to waste. But as for my personal knowledge and observation attests, the greatest effort was made by my dear brother Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin and my dear brother Maulvi Abdul Karim, who, leaving behind all relations, have been present with me for this task for many months. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further writes, furthermore, Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib not only rendered such service as mentioned, rather for this task he also procured by purchasing from his own pocket English books of very fine quality and gathered a collection of valuable books for this objective. May Allah grant them the best reward, and Allah causes not the reward of those who do good to be lost. Ameen. Then, whilst mentioning Mia Manzoor Muhammad Sahib, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, wrote, it is incumbent upon me as an expression of gratitude for the blessings of Allah the Almighty to mention that in my important work of writing and publication, God, by His grace, has granted me a sincere helper of great worth, and that is my dear Mia Manzoor Muhammad, who serves as a scribe and possesses remarkably beautiful handwriting. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further writes that he works not for the world, but purely out of love for the faith, and he has left his hometown and taken up residence here in Qadian. He says, "This is a great blessing of Allah the Almighty, that He has provided me, according to my need and desire, with such a devoted and energetic helper. At any hour of the day or night, I take from him the service of copying manuscripts, and he carries out this work with complete dedication, purely for the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. It is for this reason that in this age of spiritual battle, tracts that defeat the opponents are being sent forth from my side in rapid succession, like volleys of fire against the adversaries. And in truth, the provision of such supporting means is itself a sign from Allah the Almighty. From every direction, all beneficial means have been made available to me. In writing, I have been given such power that it seems as though it is not I who write, but angels, and though outwardly it is through my own hand." The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would never miss an opportunity to thank those who assisted him, even for the smallest service. And he would openly acknowledge his companions and praise them and say that through their help, his work had been made easier. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani relates that the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, always valued even the smallest services of his devotees, and he would show great consideration for their feelings. He would give them more than their labor warranted, and in the days when a book or pamphlet had to be printed and published urgently, and work continued through the night, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would make special arrangements for milk and other refreshments for those working in the press. And he would pay them more than the usual wage, and would express not merely pleasure at their work, but also express his gratitude. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes that the hearts of prophets are deeply grateful. They would express their gratitude for even the smallest of acts. He further says that I have seen that when the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam were being printed day and night, then although he himself would sometimes remain awake for several nights at a stretch, but whenever someone brought a proof at night and called out, he would personally rise to receive it. And as he did so, he would say that may Allah grant you the best reward. How much trouble he has taken, how much hardship these people endure, may God reward them well. And he would say this despite himself having stayed up the entire night as well. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further says, "Then many times I fell asleep whilst watching the Promised Messiah alayhi salam work, and when I awoke, I found him still working until the morning. The others were certainly working for the sake of God, but the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam still felt their hardship. Why? Because the hearts of prophets have an extraordinary sense of gratitude." Then Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates another incident. Hafiz Nabi Baksh Sahib of Faizullah Chak said that once the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam went for a walk in his garden, and in his blessed hand he was holding a willow cane. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam struck at a fruit on a tree with the cane, but the cane became lodged among the branches. It had been thrown from a distance and became so firmly caught that it would not come down. The companions tried repeatedly to dislodge it, but without success. And so I submitted that, Hazur, I can climb the tree and bring it down. And so I quickly climbed up and brought down the blessed cane. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was so pleased and astonished that he repeatedly said with great affection that, Mia Nabi Baksh, you have done something remarkable. You climbed the tree and brought the cane down at once. How did you climb the tree? And where did you learn to climb like that? This cane is from our father's time, and today it is as though you have given it back to us anew. And even on the way back, the promised Messiah alayhi salam kept repeating that Mian Nabi Bakhsh has shown great skill in climbing the tree and retrieving the cane. It was also the habit of the promised Messiah alayhi salam that whether a person was young or old, he would never address anyone in the words tu, i.e. an informal manner of saying you. He says that although I was only a small child, but the promised Messiah alayhi salam never once addressed me in such a way. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes that Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib told him that whenever someone brought a gift for the promised Messiah alayhi salam, he would show deep gratitude, and he would also mention that person's sincerity at home and say that such and such person had sent this gift. How deeply the promised Messiah alayhi salam appreciated even small gifts is illustrated by another account recorded by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The wife of the late Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib wrote that on one occasion, Dr. Sahib took 3 months leave from Agra and came to Qadian. In Agra, there was a sweet called khurma, something like balushai, which was made there very well and in large quantity. This was something that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam liked very much. Whenever Dr. Sahib came, he would always bring khurmas for the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. One day when he arrived, the promised Messiah alayhi salam had not eaten since morning. She says that I came into the house around the time of Asr, and he was very pleased to see me, and he asked about the journey. Hazrat Amma Jan radiyallahu ta'ala anha said that the food is ready, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam replied that I did not feel like eating. Then Hazrat Amma Jan radiyallahu ta'ala anha said that Murad Khatun has brought khurmas for you from Agra. Hearing this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was delighted and said that I like those, bring them, and I shall eat some. When they were brought before him, he praised them greatly and said that so many. He then ate some and said, keep them for me. I have eaten some now, and I shall eat more later. The manner in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam ate has already been mentioned, and how he would eat very little at a time, and would do so whilst engaged in prayer. In any case, she writes, that my heart was filled with such joy at the way he appreciated such a small thing that I cannot describe it. She says that when I told Dr. Sahib, he too became very happy, and for a long while he kept raising his face towards the sky and saying, Subhanallah, that holy is Allah, holy is Allah. And Dr. Sahib himself was also a person of great sincerity. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that when a case was filed against the promised Messiah alayhi salam in Gurdaspur by Maulvi Karamdeen of Bhin, there was at the time a great lack of money and expenses that increased considerably. On that occasion, under divine guidance, certain individuals were approached, and among those approached was Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib. At that moment, he gathered everything that was in his home and sent it all, writing that he would continue to send whatever income came to him in the future. And so, whatever he received from his salary and his medical practice, he would send it to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. A friend who was his guest in those days recounted that I said to him that you send everything there and keep nothing for yourself. Upon this, he replied that yes, these are such times that demand it. At that time, the promised Messiah alayhi salam also wrote him a letter, which Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says he himself read. Dr. Sahib had said that these are such times that require us to help the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In any case, the promised Messiah alayhi salam wrote him a letter at the time, and Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that he read the letter himself. And in it, the promised Messiah alayhi salam had written that you have taken the sacrifice to its very highest limit. You need not give any more contributions. He was giving so much, and yet Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu notes that the promised Messiah alayhi salam would ordinarily counsel people to give their contributions regularly, and had even said that one who does not give for 3 months cannot remain part of the community. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that this letter may perhaps still be in the late Khalifa Sahib's home, and he continued to give contributions after that too, and he should have. It is not that after receiving the letter he stopped giving altogether. In fact, he carried on giving nonetheless, and he should have. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he should have continued because what he had been doing before was fulfilling an obligation, and what he gave afterwards was out of gratitude. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam, in his treatise, The Will, written as a result of divine revelation, exempted his own children from paying the wasiyat contribution. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that in it he exempted us, that is, his own children. He says, there was always a nagging sense within me that we had been deprived of one opportunity for sacrifice. But then the thought came to me that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would worship with such intensity that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that his feet would become swollen. And seeing this, she once said that when Allah the Almighty has forgiven all your sins, why do you put yourself through such hardship? Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا? That is, should I not then be a grateful servant? Thus, having reached such a station, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, even if something is not obligatory, it ought to be done out of gratitude. Even if it is not a duty, it should be done as an expression of gratitude. This thought came to me, and although we have been exempted from the wasiyat contribution, gratitude should still be expressed. And so, after that, I adopted the practice of ensuring that my own contributions exceeded even those of the Musiyan, i.e. members of the Al-Wasiyat scheme. And then I also remembered a revelation I had received a short while after the passing of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. I received the revelation that work ye, O house of David, gratefully. Allah the Almighty had referred to the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, as David. As in other words, O David, deal with the people with gentleness and goodness. That is to say, Allah lifts certain burdens from certain people, but it remains their duty to act in gratitude nonetheless. Perhaps that revelation was given to me to dispel precisely this doubt of mine. And so, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that after that, I gave very generously in contributions. I also wish to clarify a question that has in fact reached me as well. That people raise the question that perhaps all members of the family of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, all the Khulafa, are exempt from giving contributions. Let it be clear, this exemption was for his 5 children only, not for the wives of his sons, nor for the husbands of his daughters, and not for their progeny. Whoever makes the pledge of wasiyat is obligated to pay the wasiyat contribution and to give contributions in the same way as any other Musi, including giving their share of property, just as other Musiyan do. And I should also make it clear that the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, had donated the land of Behishti Maqbara in Qadian. And perhaps this was one reason, among many in the sights of Allah, why he exempted his 5 children from the wasiyat contribution and granted them permission to be buried in Behishti Maqbara. But in any case, the sacrifices these individuals have made have been immense. Hazrat Ammajan radiallahu ta'ala anha made great sacrifices, and her children too have made many extraordinary sacrifices at every point in history. In any case, just as Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that he made financial sacrifices for the objectives of the community that exceeded even those of a Musi, the same has been the case for the rest of Hazrat Muslim Aud's children. And let it also be clear that no Khalifa after Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is exempt from this. Rather, all have made the pledge of wasiyat and paid their wasiyat contributions accordingly. Likewise, all have participated in every other appeal and financial initiative launched by the Khulafa, contributing to the best of their ability and beyond. There is no exemption, not for any Khalifa, and nor for any member of the family of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. The exemption was solely for those 5 children, and I'm making this clarification because I had received this question on this matter. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib relates that Munshi Abdulaziz Sahib Ojalvi stated to me in writing that when Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi had initiated a criminal case against the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in Gurdaspur, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was residing at the house of Khan Sahib Ali Muhammad Sahib, a pensioner, in a house adjoining the Hajama Mosque. This humble one, along with Mia Jamaluddin, Imamuddin, and Khairuddin, residents of Sekhwan, were accompanying the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and there were other people as well who were staying at a different location. One day, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, suffered from an upset stomach. He generally suffered from gastrointestinal trouble, and in this instance, he had to go repeatedly to relieve himself. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, instructed us to remain asleep, saying that I shall get up, but you people should not get up. But whenever the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, arose, this humble one would immediately get up and take a can of water and accompany the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. This continued throughout the entire night, and each time the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, would say that you remain asleep. In the morning, while seated in a gathering, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, mentioned to me that there is a marked difference between the disciples of the Messiah, i.e. Jesus, and our companions. When a time of hardship fell upon the Messiah, he had to awaken his disciples, saying, "Remain awake and pray." But they fell asleep. He awakens them repeatedly, yet they fall asleep again. But such is the condition of the disciples of the Messiah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we repeatedly urge our friends to remain asleep, yet they continue to remain awake. Then, mentioning the humble one by name, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that I do not know whether Mi Abdul Aziz slept at all throughout the night. Whenever I got up, he would immediately rise with great attentiveness, and despite my repeatedly telling him to remain asleep, he would get up. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu ta'ala has commented upon this, that the saying of the Messiah of Nazareth is true and indeed accurate, that a tree is known by its fruit. Thus, every unbiased person will have to acknowledge that the sweet fruits which the company of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam produced could never have been produced by remaining in the company of the Messiah of Nazareth. For the blessed influence of the promised Messiah alayhi salam created a community of thousands and hundreds of thousands who considered it a great honor than all other honors to sacrifice their lives for his sake, and indeed continue to consider it even so today. They were and remain ready to sacrifice every comfort and ease of their own upon experiencing the slightest hardship suffered by him. Yet the Messiah of Nazareth could not even maintain a small community of 12 people, and one of them accepted 30 pieces of silver and had him arrested and informed the authorities about him. Hazrat Inayatullah Sahib relates that when he came to Qadian for the first time, he brought a bottle of perfume with him. He had travelled on foot and he spent the night in Batala, and says that when he looked at the bottle, he found that all but a single drop had been lost. He felt very saddened by this. And at the time of the evening prayer, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to the roof of Masjid Mubarak, he shook hands with him and began to massage the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that I brought a bottle of perfume, but it leaked on the way. He presented the bottle to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, containing only that single drop. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that you have received the reward of this entire bottle, Jazakallah. Hazrat Muhammad Ismail Sahib relates that he was approximately 20 years old when in Gurdaspur, the judgment in the case of Karamdin Jhelmi Bean, which is in the district of Jhelum, or perhaps in the district of Chakwal as it is known today. But in any case, the judgment in his case was to be passed, and he arrived there from his village a day earlier. The promised Messiah alayhi salam was also staying at a house there. It was the summer season, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting in a room. And he's, i.e. Muhammad Ismail's father, Mia Jamaluddin Sahib, and Mia Muhammaddin Sahib Sekhwani and Chaudhry Abdul Aziz Sahib were also present. He went and began fanning the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam looked towards him and, pointing towards his father, Mia Jamaluddin Sahib, smiled and said, "Mia Ismail has also come and taken a share of the reward." He relays that even now, whenever he recalls how pleased the promised Messiah alayhi salam would become with the smallest and most humble act of service, a feeling of delight arises within him. Then Hazrat Mia Sadruddin Sahib relates that the promised Messiah alayhi salam would wear a woolen shawl which he would drape over his shoulder when he came outside. On one occasion, Chaudhry Bolla told me that he once accompanied the promised Messiah alayhi salam to Batala, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam had a horse with him. For some time he himself remained mounted upon it, and then he helped me mount the horse. In other words, he first rode himself and then had him mounted. And after riding for some time, he allowed the horse to proceed without a rider so that it too might have some rest. Similarly, the father of Chirag, who worked as the peon at the Ahmadiyya school, told me that on one occasion the Promised Messiah took him to the well known as the Well of Pajja Kashmiri, so that he might bathe them. On the way, he gave him some money and asked him to bring some revri, a sweet made of sesame seeds and sugar. He is relating a personal account of his, but the actual incident concerning gratitude begins here. He relates that the Promised Messiah gave him some money and asked him to bring some revri. When he returned with it, the Promised Messiah divided it into two portions and began giving one portion to him. He refused to accept it. The Promised Messiah then said, "Then how can I eat all of this by myself? This money was mine and I had brought it, but the effort was yours, for you went and brought it and thus you made the effort." Subsequently, the Promised Messiah gave him half of the sweet. This too was an example of his gratitude for the service rendered by another person. Whether someone was young or old, whoever served him in any capacity, he would express his gratitude for their service. I have already mentioned several such examples. Then Hazrat Sher Muhammad Sahib also relates that when the Promised Messiah went to Jhelum for a court case in connection with the case of Karamdeen, some of my friends in Batala had arranged tea and invited us. We all went together, including the Promised Messiah, and Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed was also with us. On that occasion, the Promised Messiah asked that who is serving the tea. The friends had invited us for tea, and so I humbly submitted that Hazur, these are servants. They were the cooks and household servants of those English ladies, the wives of British officers, who used to proclaim that Christ was God and the Son of God. In other words, these were the people who served those who believed and proclaimed that Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, was the Son of God. But in any case, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam heard this and expressed his pleasure and conveyed his appreciation and gratitude to those who had made arrangements for the tea. And so, whether they were Christians or non-Muslims or friends of some other background, regardless, he thanked those who had served him. And the Promised Messiah alayhi salam did not merely express his gratitude to them personally. It is recorded that he subsequently published an announcement of his appreciation in the newspaper as well, stating that these people had served him there. Thus, he accorded such importance to their service that he did not simply thank them verbally, rather he publicly acknowledged and expressed his gratitude for their service. May Allah the Almighty enable us to adopt the highest standards of gratitude and thankfulness.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.